Deuteronomy chapter 30. Topic today is no apologies. No apologies. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And now this is going to be very hard for the Canadians because...
I was about to say, sorry, what?
Because if you have to go through a day without saying you're sorry, if you don't say you're sorry, you lose your social insurance number. I know that, but so I have to be careful. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10. This is Moses speaking with the children of Israel, and he says, "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea." This is from Romans 10. Remember, quotes this stuff. "That thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear and do it? But the word is very nigh thee, nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil." It's an interesting statement. Moses didn't really mince words when it came to the word of God. He said, here's your choice. I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. He didn't say this is really good, and if you don't believe it, I understand. You may not line up with your thinking and everything. No, he said, this is your, you got life or good and evil. Take your pick. It wasn't a matter of trying to make allowances for anybody. He said, this is your choice. Verse 16, "In that day, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and thy Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away," that's okay, you know, these things happen, "so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you on this day that you shall surely perish." Oh no, things will be okay. You know, if it offends you a little bit now, and maybe you can, no. He said, you believe this life? If you don't, you're going to perish. Was he apologizing for God's word here at all? No. This is the truth. This is what he said. This is the case. This is your choice. This is your option. You go this way, this. You go the other way, this. "And that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death." It wasn't like life and everything will be fine. Life or death. Blessing and cursing. One way life and blessing, the other way cursing and death. Therefore, he says what? Choose life, that thou, both thou and thy seed may live. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Pretty straightforward. They had a choice to make. He didn't make excuses or apologize for what God's word said. He just told them what the word of God said. It wasn't his word. It was God's word. He gave it to them and told them to make a choice. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness?" This is Paul to the Corinthians, as we know. "Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay?" You know, when he came to them, he goes, "Was I waffling? Did I tell you, yeah, it could be this, or maybe that, yeah, yeah, yea, nay, nay? But as God is true," verse 18, "our word toward you was not yea and nay." It wasn't this. "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me, by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." There's no doubt. "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." See, the word of God is not wishy-washy. It's not, well, you know, it's a way of living. Who knows? It may work or may not work. There's no apologies here. You know, he says, look, I didn't come to you and say, well, you know, let's try this out. If it doesn't work, well, maybe Buddhism, something else, whatever else is. No, he said, this is it. I wasn't messing with words. I told you everything in Christ is yea and amen. That's it. There's nothing else. No other option here. You know, and the Word of God isn't wishy-washy. And I was thinking about no apologies. I was thinking, neither should we be in our lives. We should not be wishy-washy in our presentation of the Scriptures. It benefits nobody. It says in the Bible that His Word is settled forever in heaven. It's the truth. It's His Word. It's settled. That's it. So if God is not wishy-washy, and those who represented Him, like Moses, they weren't kind of waffling, and they made no apologies. Did He ask the people that were listening to Israel, you know, did someone raise his hand? Well, that's pretty, very, you know, kind of harsh, Moses, for you to say cursing and death. What do you think he would have said? This is your choice, right? So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. While we're around this area. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, pretty foul smell for those. To the other, the savor of life unto life. To one, a real blessed savor, you know, fragrance. To the other, stench, basically. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Let me read you that from the Working Translation, verse 17. For we are not as many hucksters who adulterate the word of God, but we speak in Christ from genuineness, even from God in the sight of God. Hucksters, you know, the peddlers who would water down things so they could sell more. Get a bottle of wine, ends up you can sell 10 bottles of wine if you know how to water it down properly. Make it more palatable. We don't do that with the Word of God. We don't water down God. And Paul said, hey, listen, when we speak the Word of God, to some people, we smell like it's a stench. To the others, it's a fragrance. He goes, but we're not going to water down God's Word, regardless of that, are we? We're not going to adulterate it. We're not going to try to make it more palatable, suitable. It's not our Word, it's God's Word. God said this. Moses said it correctly. Life or death. Take your pick. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22. Here's a wonderful attempt at trying to water down the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 22. Verse 1, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel, or Ahab, by the way. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. That's an incredible number of prophets. And said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, besides that we might inquire of him? I don't know why he said that. Doesn't tell us. It's hard to imagine. There's 400 of these men here and saying stuff. And he goes, is there a prophet of the Lord here? But that's what he said. And the king, verse 8 of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom ye may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, oh, let not the king say so. Don't be like that. And the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither Micaiah the son of Imla. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah the son of Chenah made him horns of iron and said, Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. He's in a full 3D show here for the guy, right? Horns and... And all the prophets prophesied, saying, Go up, it's going to be great. Go to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Look, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. All 400 of them agree that this is a good thing. That's what they're saying. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them. Speak that which is good. Now, you know, that's kind of an interesting quote. You know, I want you to just say that it's okay to go ahead. Don't worry about God or the things of God, what is right or wrong. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Just say it's okay. You know, I mean, that pressure, this interesting situation, I mean, he didn't know what the king would do to him. I mean, there's probably more than one record in the Bible about prophets not being treated so well by kings. He didn't know. But the pressure to conform, the pressure to just go along with what the world is saying, the pressure to not go against the grain of life and the things that are happening is strong. It's a very strong pressure. You know, the pressure on us to try to make the Word of God fit to the world and so people don't get offended or that we don't lose this or lose that or whatever, it's pretty strong. You know, we might say, oh, I'd do whatever in the middle. Well, maybe. I'd like to think that we would always do that. But the pressure is strong. See, we make no apologies for the truth. It's not my truth. It's not your truth. It's God's word. And for this guy to go to him, listen, just kind of conform here and just say what everybody else wants to say. And Micaiah, verse 14, said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. That's a great statement. I'd like to be able to say that we would always do that in whatever situation we ever end up in. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, well, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we not forbear? And he answered, Yeah, go ahead, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said, Come on, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? You think you might have had an inkling of what was right or wrong, even a little bit, maybe. Or however Micaiah said it, I don't know. And he said, verse 17, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master, let them return every man to his king. And the king of Israel said, Didn't I tell you that he would say nothing about evil? And so on. And Micaiah gives him the word of God. So he was requested to water it down, but he didn't water it down. He spoke what God had told him. Romans chapter 1. Do we, in our lives, unknowingly apologize for the truth? Do we have a hard time saying what is true because of consequences that might result? You know, I was thinking about some of the people in the Word of God. Just listen to Jeremiah recently. It's really hard to think of a case in Jeremiah's life where when he spoke God's Word, things went really well for him. You know, I mean, maybe after a year or two of that, you go, you know, that's enough. I've had it. I'm just going to... He never conformed. He had no results, really. And the one blessing, I was talking to Jane about that, the one blessing I can think of where is when they came Babylon. They came to take over Israel, the children of Israel, to take them to captivity. They gave them the choice: Do you want to come or do you want to stay? An unbelieving king gave him the option to be able to stay there or go into captivity. That's a blessing on his life. It's not much compared to everything else he had to go through, but he wouldn't conform. Are we willing? Are we willing to not apologize when we have a situation in front of us that we got to speak the truth? Men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Stephen, at his defense, you know, in Acts chapter 7, what did he say? He didn't say, well, I know I'm in trouble now, so yeah, you guys... No, he said, you guys have killed all the prophets. You did it. What was the result? He died. No apologies. No apologies for the truth. Jesus Christ, you know, when he spoke to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. But don't you know, I've been with you for a long time. Don't you love me? No apologies. He was more concerned about Peter recognizing the word of God living in his life than he was about Peter's stupid feelings. How about us when we speak to friends, people we meet on the street, people we know? I'm not talking about openly advocating rebellion, but speaking the truth. Because the truth is the best thing that for everybody. That's what they need to hear. That's what Jehoshaphat needed. That's what the children of Israel needed. And God needed men who would stand there and speak the truth when it was needed. And they did. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So as much as in me is, Paul, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed. What a great statement. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Because in the gospel is the righteousness. By the way, verse 18, there is also the wrath. Both. They're both in there. He goes, I'm not ashamed to talk about either one of them. Because it's the truth. He's there. He's in Rome. He was talking to the Romans. He goes, I'm not ashamed. You know, it's a great statement. I'd like to be able to say that. You know, think about the pressures that surround us in life today. Is homosexuality okay now? But how often do you come across situations where it would be a lot more awkward today to say, well, this is unnatural, it is evil, and it is not according to God's plan than it was maybe 10 years ago? Am I willing to say it? Or am I going to just go along with the crowd who are accepting of this ungodly, evil, unnatural lifestyle? Just saying those words, it feels a little bit awkward, doesn't it? In the face of everything that's out there. Well, are we willing to speak the truth? Or are we going to water it down to line up with whatever the hell society wants us to think? How about Jesus Christ? Who is he? Is he God or isn't he? Well, are we willing to speak the truth? Or are we going to say, well, you know, it's fine. It's not okay if it's not the word of God. It's never been okay. Am I willing to say that to somebody if the situation comes up? Or am I willing to just say, you know, well, it's sort of the same? Right? We can think of numbers of things. Dead, alive, now. Are they dead or are they still living? Are they somewhere up in wherever having a party? Giving and receiving, you know. It is still more blessed to give than to receive. And are we willing to tell it to people? The more you give, the more blessed you are. Do I believe that? Am I willing to give my soul, my life, because God's word says that? Or am I willing to just kind of adhere to whatever, you know, just take care? Because the society today is a very much self-centered, me, I society. The idea of giving openly to others is just going by the wayside. Well, what does the word of God say? Am I going to just adhere to what the world says? Or am I going to say, you know, I'm only going to speak what the Lord tells me to speak. I'm only going to try to live that. And I don't just mean speaking it, I mean living it as well, right? See, are we afraid of what society or people might say back to us, or how we might look, or how awkward the situation might be, or whatever, if we speak what God's word says? It's only we can answer that question. 2 Timothy chapter 1. No apologies. We make no apologies for the truth. God doesn't need us apologizing on the behalf of what he protected so well through the ages and made available to us. He wants us to speak it. He wants us to believe it. And he wants us to live it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Both mentioned because they are not one and the same thing. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So he tells him, you know, you were brought up in the word of God. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. This is written by Paul to Timothy. He says, Timothy, you grew up with the scriptures. You know what they say. You're full of genuine believing. Now, don't be afraid. Right. That spirit of fear didn't come from God. Doesn't come from God. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You're writing to a young man, Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. Don't be ashamed. So do you think that it might have been a temptation to be ashamed? Yeah, I think absolutely. You know, you get surrounded by 7 or 8 people in a pub or something, or wherever, in a restaurant, and someone says something that you know is overtly evil and wrong. Do you want to correct them? Maybe it's not always right. I don't know. I'm just saying, do you feel a little bit awkward? Do you feel like people might look at you and say, well, you know, why don't you just all agree with us going to battle like everybody else does? Why are you always the ones going against the grain? You know, like Micaiah or Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, who are all, Jesus Christ, Paul, all of them, right? Why are you going against the grain? Are we afraid of that? He writes, Timothy, don't be ashamed, Timothy, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. I'm in jail. Don't be ashamed of that, because you know why I'm in jail. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. It's going to happen, Timothy. Just share fully in those things, because they're going to happen to you. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the ages, before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath given and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. So don't you be ashamed either, Timothy. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep, and I should really literally read here, that he is able to guard the deposit entrusted to me until that day. All that was entrusted to him, then he said, God is able to guard that. So you can speak that truth. You can speak what God tells you, because God will protect it. God will guard it. Hold fast. Because of that, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Make it known. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just speak it, because it's God who gave it to us, and he'll guard it. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto us, keep by the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, the Spirit which is within you will help you. So all that God had given to Paul, everything that God gave to Paul, all of it, is the foundation which you and I believe today for everything that we are. All of that. That's what he's talking about. It was guard that, and we now know that. Salvation in Christ. And by the way, there is salvation in no other. That's it. Remember Moses? Death or life? You tell people today, Christ or death. It's not Christ or maybe. No, it's Christ or death. Are we willing to say that? Are we willing to tell somebody? Listen, that's why the words we speak to somebody, look at the option they have. They have the option for life. Am I going to allow my personal feelings and the fact they may, by some off chance, be offended by what I say to prevent them from getting life? It's up to me. Well, Jeremiah, well, he fought so hard. Why? Because he knew who he served. Paul, he was in prison. Why did he keep going? Because he knew who he served. I know whom I've believed. Do we know whom we've believed? Are we willing because of that now to speak forth without the worry of repercussions? Well, let's close in Acts 24. Close in Acts chapter 24. Do we understand and believe that we serve the Lord Christ and that someday he's the one that's going to let us know what the score was? Do we believe that the things that we do today here in this life actually have bearing on the life to come? If we actually believe that the actions that we speak here, the things that we do here in this life, have ramifications in the life to come, if we actually believe that, do you think it might help us not to be embarrassed by what might happen to us here because of what we say and do? I think so. But I really have to believe that the things that I do here have ramifications in the life to come, right? I have to believe that. And if I believe that, well, this life here and the things that might happen to me here or to us here, they seem to fade in priority quite a bit. Acts chapter 24, verse 10, Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, this is Felix here, answered, "For much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself." And this is that word here that people use to basically spawn a whole series of Christian teaching called apologetics, where they, you know, the apologia, the word in Greek there, essentially a lot of it has to do with Christians kind of apologizing for whatever, and I think it's been taken to now apologize for everything Christians believe, but really what the word means is giving an answer of truth in the face of accusation. It's not apologizing for what you believe, and you can look that up and study all the uses of it and so forth, but what it really is where you give an answer of truth in the face of accusation. It is not you saying, well, I'm sorry for this, or I'm sorry if I offended you for that, or all that other garbage the world might get you involved in. And this is exactly what Paul did. Paul here knows that these men he's before have the ability to let him go. They have the ability to free him. Yet what does he answer? He goes, "I cheerfully answer or tell you to speak the truth to you, because that thou mayest understand," verse 11, "that there are yet many, yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for the worship. And they neither find me in the temple disputing with any man," I wasn't fighting, "neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy," that's the way I worship. They call it heresy, but that's the way I worship. Well, you're not even a Christian if you believe Jesus Christ is not God. Well, they call it heresy. That's the way I worship. Well, you're evil for thinking that homosexuality is a lifestyle that's evil. Yeah, I know. You call me. That's the way I worship. It's not an open injunction for us to go fight against people who live that way. Of course not. We should be the most loving to people of in any area of life, because that's also the way we worship. "So worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets." Great verse. "And I have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust." Look what he's thinking about Paul here before these men. What's he talking about? There's someday there's going to be a resurrection of the just and unjust. "And herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward any..." I'm not trying to offend people openly. "Now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to be here, and object if they had any aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." That's why I'm here. And when Felix had heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of thy way, he deferred them and said, When Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. You know, he told him about how salvation in Christ brings you righteousness. How to live righteously because of all that Jesus Christ has done. He told him about temperance. You don't just live a life of unabashed pleasure and self-satisfaction. That's not why Jesus Christ did all that he did. That's why we have all those so-called practical sections in the epistles. Because of all that he did, this is now how you live your life. You don't go around like the Gentiles used to do. You don't go around doing all this nonsense. You live a life of self-control and of judgment to come. Because someday, there's a day coming. You know, you're speaking to somebody at work. Don't you recognize, don't you understand that if you don't believe in Christ here, that someday there is a day coming that you will be dang sorry for not believing what I just told you. Hey. If that's what God works in you to say, am I afraid to say it? That's what he's telling Felix here. He says, look, there's a day coming. There is going to be judgment. What does he say? He says here, Felix trembled. Yeah, I would too if I was Felix and I didn't believe what Paul told me. He trembled. He goes, oh no. He goes, go, you gotta get out of here. I'll listen to you again some other time. Yeah, I ain't got time right now to listen to you. Maybe we'll talk again. Yeah, maybe. Maybe Christ will come back tonight and we'll ever have the opportunity. I don't know. But just remember, someday that there is judgment coming. That's not to put fear in the heart of anybody. You think when Moses told those people, he said, death or life, he was trying to make them afraid? The fact they might have become afraid, well, that's just too dang bad because the truth can do that. He was trying to give them life and blessing. He wasn't trying to get them afraid of the curse and death. He was telling them, you pick this, it's life and blessing. No apologies for the truth. We make no apologies when it comes to God's word. It's not our word. It's God's word. And we speak it just like we've been told by God to do so. So